In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the second Sunday of the blessed month of Misra. And as I mentioned last week, this last month, the church is preparing us for the second coming of Christ and for the end of our life in which we will meet with the Lord. The passage of today comes from Luke chapter 5, and it speaks about many things. It speaks about the calling of Levi or Matthew. But the part that I want to focus on is the part here on the end where the Pharisees asked the Lord about why the disciples, they don't fast. And he told them they can't fast as long as the bridegroom is with them. And as long as the bridegroom is with them, they can't fast. But when he is taken away, then they will fast. And then immediately after he says that, he gives an illustration or an example that says about the wineskin and the garment. He says, no one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes it tear, and also the piece that is taken out of the new does not match the old. So basically, the Lord is saying, no one takes a new garment and uses a new garment or new fabric to patch up old fabric, or else it will tear. So he uses this illustration. And back in the old days, people, you know, now we just go to the mall or go to wherever and we buy clothes that's done, and if it's damaged, we just throw it away and go buy, you know, another one. But back before the factories and all of this, they would make and tailor their own clothes, you know, in the homes and in their local community. You know, if there was a tailor, they would make them. So somebody would go and buy the fabric, take it to the tailor, he'd make the clothes for them, and give it back to them. And what they would do is any of the extra fabric that was left over, they would keep it. So maybe if something happened to the sleeve, and the sleeve was burned or knit or caught on something, they can go back to the tailor with the same fabric and replace, you know, just the sleeve. But of course, after a certain while, what happens is the fabric becomes, you know, softer, it stretches over time, and anybody who has like new cotton shirts, you know that the cotton shirts will shrink after several washes. So the new fabric is not like the old fabric. So the Lord here is saying we can't mix the two together. But what is the fabric here that the Lord is referring to, or the garment that the Lord is referring to? We understand from the parable of the wedding banquet. This is the parable where a king threw a wedding for his son and invited all of the the people who were invited, and some of them told them, no, we can't come, and they took it lightly, and they didn't come. So after preparing all of the preparations, he said to his servants, go out and call everybody in the streets to fill the banquet hall. So they called those who weren't invited, they filled the banquet hall, and then he came in, the master came in to the wedding and noticed that there was somebody there who didn't have the wedding garment on. And they, of course, he cast him out and said that you can't be part of the wedding, you know, party. So the fathers comment that they say that this is an illustration of baptism, that nobody can enter the kingdom of heaven without baptism. That's why he says in John 3, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So here we understand that the garment is necessary. We all have a garment that we wear. And we all of us who are baptized in the baptismal font came out with this new garment. This new garment. But what does this have to do with fasting? He responded to their question about fasting with this illustration. What is he trying to say to them? He says, well, the Christian who comes out of baptism or comes out of the baptismal font is different. For example, the Jews had fasting, and so do we. We have fasting. But there's a difference in the way that we practice fasting. The Jews would practice fasting out of obligation to the law, because the law tells us, and then if I want to be righteous before God, I must observe the law. So they do it out of obligation. But in the new garment, after we take the new garment, we are fasting not because of obligation, but because of our love for God. And we understand the benefits of fasting. And because when we fast, we express our love to the Lord and wanting to make ourselves holy and pure through fasting. So in the New Testament, it's out of love. So I think as we prepare for the new Coptic year, the church wants us to consider this garment that we have on. Is it the new garment that we received after we came out of baptism, or is it the old garment? So I'd like to mention just a few points today about how we handle this garment and some considerations of how we handle it. The first consideration is that we should only have one garment. And giving this illustration, the Lord told them that you can't patch an old garment with a new garment. You can't put old wine into a new wineskin. So there has to be, both have to be new. The new clothing needs the new fabric. So he says they can't be mixed together. And this is the standard of life that we live. This is the standard of life that we live. Having this one garment that we put on. I am a Christian. This is my garment. This is my identity. This is how people should know me. There's a passage in the Old Testament when Elijah came before the prophets of Baal. And the problem of the people at the time, that they were swaying between the two. Sometimes they would go and worship the Baals, and sometimes they would worship the God of Israel, and they would go back and forth. So Elijah saw that this wasn't fitting for the people of God. There shouldn't be this swaying between two gods. There shouldn't be two garments that we're switching between, the new garment and the old garment. Putting on the new garment on Sunday morning and taking it off in the evening and putting on the old garment on Monday when I start my work week. So he says to them, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." So he's telling them, choose one and follow. But going between the two is dangerous. So I'd like for us maybe to consider our lives and consider the garment we put on in public, the garment we put on at home, and the garment we put on in our private room. Is the person that who I claim to be, is it the same person that is here sitting in the pews? Is it the same person who's sitting on the couch at home? And is it the same person who's in his room every evening? I fear sometimes many of us, we have different garments that we put on for different occasions and different settings. And I think the biggest problem of this, or the cause for this problem, is that we've lost our sense of reference. We say, okay, the reference of when I'm in church is God and the commandments of God. My reference when I go to work is what my coworkers and my peers say is acceptable in the workplace. My reference at home is what I say is the reference, because I'm the Lord of the house. So our reference changes based on our location. And this is why there's a new garment for each location. But here the Lord is telling us today that there should be one garment, the new garment, that should be how we're clothed in every place in our life. And I'll remind you with the passage again of the wedding banquet. Why did the master or the king, kick out the person who was wearing the old garment? It wasn't because he didn't like him, because actually he calls him friend in the passage. He calls him friend. But he kicked him out because the garment was provided by the king. Meaning what? It's just like what? If you're invited to a wedding these days, typically what happens is, the bridesmaids buy their dresses and the groomsmen, rent their tuxedos, and everybody gets their own thing. But the way that if it was for the king would provide the garment for everybody. So that way everybody has no excuse to come appropriately dressed. So what if you were having a wedding, you were getting married, and you said, you know what, I'm going to buy everybody's dress and everybody's tuxedo. All I want you to do is come wearing them in my wedding. And what if you came that morning to your wedding and found that one of the bridesmaids didn't wear the dress that you bought them. Would you allow them to be in the wedding? You'd probably say, no. I got everything, I provided everything for you, and you didn't, you know, all you had to do was put it on and be here on time. This is exactly what the Lord Christ did with us. He provided us with every means for salvation. He gave us baptism. He gave us his body and blood. He gave us the sacrament of repentance and confession. He said, I've given everything to you freely. So therefore, when he comes again, we will be without excuse. And another observation I want you to recall is when we, after a person, you know, comes for their baptism, for those who have children that were baptized, you would remember, those who are adults, it's the same principle. When they come in the morning, they're wearing casual clothing. You know, it can be matching colors or whatever, anything. But when they come out of the baptismal font, what color do they wear? And it's white only. There's only one color. It's not a mix. It's white sealed with the blood of Christ or sealed with the Holy Spirit, which is the red cord that is there. So there's only one color that we come out of. So this new garment should only be one. And this is the color of white, which is the symbol of purity, and the same garment that Christ himself wears in heaven, as described in the book of Revelations. So the first consideration is that there should only be one garment. The second is that some of us put a new piece on an old garment to hide blemishes. It's kind of like makeup. You know, if somebody has a blemish on their face, they'll do things, or the women, they'll do things on their face to hide a blemish, a zit, or whatever it might be. And the guys, if we cut ourselves while we shave, we put a Band-Aid that matches our skin color, you know, to try to, you know, cover it. So some of us, we try to patch with new patches the garment that we are wearing. So we try with new things that look good to cover our blemishes. Some of us have the blemish of hatred in our heart, and we try to cover it with something good. Like Judas, he had hatred for the Lord Christ in his heart, but he patched it with what? What did he patch it with that seemed to be good? The kiss. Remember the kiss? He came and kissed him. The kiss of peace is something that should be, you know, is good. Right? All of us in the church, after the prayer of reconciliation, we greet each other with a kiss of peace. A sign of reconciliation, a sign of love. So he covered the hatred in his heart with a sign of love. He's trying to cover the blemish of hatred in his heart with a kiss of peace. Let us look inside our lives. Am I doing the same? Is there somebody at my work, or somebody in my family, or somebody in the church, that I greet them with a smiling face in front of them, but behind their back, I'm cursing them and condemning them and judging them? Am I trying to cover the hatred in my heart by the smile I put on my face towards them? Some of us cover the blemish of greed with a godly means. I'll give you an example. Say, I'm in a tight spot in my finances, and I want to go and I play the lottery. So I'm kind of debating with myself. It's not really gambling. You know, I'm tight. My kids need to go to school. I need this house or whatever. So let me just go to the casino or buy this lottery ticket. And you know what? If I win, I'll give the church not 10%, but 15%. So here, what are we doing? We're taking the tithe, which is a godly thing to do, to cover the blemish of greed sowed within our heart. This is exactly what happened with Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. All of the people were giving all of their money to the apostles, and the apostles would distribute to everyone as needed. But they had a little bit of greed in their heart and said, you know what, I see all of our peers are giving to the church. It wouldn't look good if we don't do that as well. But I want some of the money for myself. So they kept back a portion for themselves and offered something at the feet of the apostles. So this offering at the feet of the apostles was to cover the blemish of greed within their heart. And of course, the Holy Spirit didn't let this pass, and we know the rest of the story. How about the blemish of hypocrisy? The blemish of hypocrisy. Some of us deal with our spouses one way in public, and in home it's another way. We say we might praise our wives and praise our husbands in public, but then at home, it's a whole other story. You know, it's, you know, fighting and clashing and, you know, butting heads all the time. Our new garments are made white through the blood of Christ and through it that we get in baptism. And it's required for us to keep them white through the sacrament of repentance and confession. And why is the sacrament so great? Is because in it, we face our blemishes, and with Abuna's help, we try to take positive action again to treat and to clean this garment so that it might remain unspotted. And this is what St. James describes as being a pure and undefiled religion. If I want to ask myself, is my faith pure and undefiled? What does St. James say? Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: visit the orphans and widows in their trouble, and keep oneself unspotted from the world. Unspotted, yes, the garment that we put on in baptism, we're required to keep unspotted. If the day comes where the Lord Christ comes again and finds that we have taken the garment of baptism, but it's not white and it's spotted, it won't be perceived by him as being white any longer. Those who enter the kingdom of heaven are those ones that have the white garments. Some of us try to hide our blemishes with a piece of fabric that doesn't match. Number two, a new piece of garment may be a stumbling block for the rest of the garment, or for the rest. So if you put a new piece of fabric on something that is old, it will stretch and tear. It'll stretch the old fabric and it'll tear it. So actually, when we cover our blemishes, rather than exposing them, this we may unknowingly be an offense to those people who are around us. Give an example again. Suppose a father in the house spends the whole week during the week yelling and screaming at their children, treating his wife poorly, and then comes on Sunday morning and says, let's go kids, we have to go to the church early. We go to the church, and after the church he asks about the Sunday school lesson and all of these things, but then when we get home, he's yelling and screaming again. So now this blemish that he has, that he did not expose, is now causing a bit of confusion to the children. Oh, well, and we just heard in church that we should be kind and loving and patient. And then we come home, and Baba is somebody completely different. It sends mixed messages. It really does. And it confuses the children. It confuses those who are around us. And it reminds me of what the Lord Christ said about the Pharisees. To clarify the confusion among the people that see the Pharisees, how they preach, but see the actions in different ways. The Lord says to the people, therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. Do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. This would be something frightful if the Lord or an angel came to our children to tell them this in their ear about us. Putting a new piece on an old piece can be an offense not only to ourselves because we're trying to cover our blemishes, but to also those who are around us. It gives them confusion. The third is that covering, or the last point is that covering an old garment with a new one, sometimes we do that and we think that everything is okay. It's kind of like, you know, if I'm wearing, you know, an outfit, and then say this piece of the sadra gets ripped, and I take a piece of like my red sadra and put it here, and I think it's okay. And then everybody, when you guys look at me, you're going to look and say, what's wrong with Abuna's clothing? Like, it's like doesn't fit. You know, this piece is red and the rest of it's, you know, gold. It doesn't fit. Actually, the people that do this are deceiving themselves. They think by putting a new piece over a piece maybe that's damaged, everything is okay. The whole garment is fine. And people say, no, look, Abuna, your garment doesn't match. You know, you should get a whole new one. And they say, no, no, I don't see it. It looks great. It looks great. Here I'm deceiving myself. I'm deceiving myself. Those individuals who believe by simply changing a piece in my life and it's sufficient for all will be greatly deceived. Some people say, why do I have to change the garments? Why do I have only one? Why can't I have both? These people who say this are deceiving themselves. One piece doesn't suffice for the whole, but we need to change the whole garment. The garment needs to be all white, and there only needs to be one garment. That's why the Lord, when He rebuked the church of the Laodiceans in the book of Revelations, He says to them, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So they thought of themselves as being rich and wealthy. They thought of themselves that my garment looked great. But in the eyes of God, they were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And unfortunately, it is extremely difficult for the person who deceives themselves to change. Because if I deceive myself, no matter what anybody else tells me, I will never change. If Abuna tells me that you're being deceived, I'll say, Abuna doesn't know what he's talking about, and he's mistaken, and you go to another priest. And the moment that priest says to you, you're mistaken, you're deceiving yourself, I'll go to the bishop. When the bishop says, no, you're deceiving yourself, you'll forget that bishop and go to the Pope. And when the Pope says, no, Habibi, you're deceiving yourself, he says the whole faith is wrong. It's very difficult for a person who deceives themselves to change. It's very difficult for a person to put a new piece on an old garment or to try to cover up their blemishes with pieces that do not belong. So just to recap what we said that our garments should be only one garment. We shouldn't have multiple garments in different, you know, places in our life. And we shouldn't use godly means to cover up our blemishes, to satisfy our conscience. But we should rather expose them, that when we expose them in confession, then we can, you know, find healing and growth. And also, when we leave ourselves with blemishes that aren't treated, it becomes a stumbling block, not only for ourselves and our salvation, but for those around us. And finally, if we cover our blemishes with godly means, we only deceive ourselves, and we find ourselves in danger of judgment because we think we are rich and wealthy, but yet we are poor, wretched, miserable, and blind. May God give us to consider during the rest of this fast, to consider our garment. Am I wearing multiple garments or do I have one garment? Let's look in the closet of our minds and our hearts and make a decision today. I'm going to put away these other garments. And let the law of God be my guide in every aspect of my life, in my work, in my social life between my peers, in the church, in every aspect, that God might be pleased with us and that our garment may remain unspotted and be worthy of His kingdom when He comes again for this great and glorious feast. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.